Joanne Miller, Ward 4, I believe, Mr. McElroy's ward. I just hear both sides, and it's to on one side it's like Chicken Little, the sky's falling down. The other side's kind of like, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. And I'm just wondering if we can come to a place of fiscal responsibility, as Bob Cushman said, trade on that, and to also still, we are pro-building a school, maybe two, but I'm wondering if we could possibly release the bonds, but also maybe take another vote for, before we actually start building, if we could take a vote to see if we could do a study to find out, as one gentleman suggested, the actual costs and have bids for it. To the folks who are the older people who are out of their homes, perhaps, because they are on a very, very tight budget, and they've put into the city of Warwick for 30, 40, 50 years. So we should be maybe putting on the brakes and in some respects, going ahead with certain aspects of this vote that you're having tonight. On the other side, some of you might not know what's coming for you. As inflation grows, you might lose your job. You know, there's lots of groceries are going up, everything's going up, insurance. You might not be in the position so fortunate to afford what might happen if the worst case scenario that's been suggested here happens. I also heard Rob Coates say, who is an expert in the area, directly, he spoke to the kids after, the ball fields have been cut, not just the air conditioning. A lot of you weren't here when he spoke early in the evening, and he said that no furniture has been bought. No computers were considered in that budget as well. So we're kind of looking at something that we really don't have on paper what it is now, because those projected costs were done before COVID, which we know that even the price of steel is something like, whatever, 600% gone up. Excuse me, there was another thought that I had that I wanted to just collect my I'm not blaming anybody on the city council. If I were on there, I don't know how much I would have studied this, but I know that before it was given to a vote for the people, I was told that there was a 10,000-page report with costs and stuff, and that not even one of the city council members had read it through and through. I don't know if that's true or not, but it was decided that it was going to be brought to the public. And I know you all have families. I know you all have other jobs. I know that you probably looked at it the best that you could, and then you decided to put it to a vote to the people. But where some of us are, some of us are ignorant of a lot of the things that are that probably, even if you explained it to us, and some of us are have more education, could understand more of what was going on in that study before it was handed to us as a voter. But so I don't think it was a bait and switch on purpose. I think it was kind of like, all right, there's a lot here. Let's see what the people think. And kind of become a runaway train. And I'm just asking you guys to pull it back and to like get some sort of a compromise that we all can live with. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please. Please identify yourself for the record.
Jim Italiani, friends and neighbors, from some wonderful a devoted music. We're all hoping for the best track, a concert, air conditioning, everything is going to be perfect. But if we vote tonight, what we're going to end up with is we're going to end up an engineered school.
Sorry about that, sir.
The battery's dying.
We're going to end up with engineered schools that are going to give us nothing that we're going to want. We're going to end up here with 20th century technology in schools that are going to be so underbuilt with so lousy materials by probably not the best qualified laborers, that we're going to end up with exactly what we don't want our kids and teachers to have. We have an opportunity to go back, ask our council, stop. Let's see what we really want. Let's see what we can really afford. And I heard that we did all sorts of due diligence by two or three people. We did do great due diligence. We simply don't know what it's going to cost or what we're going to get for it or how it's going to be paid for. But other than that, we got no worries. So let's stop the nonsense. Let's not allow a vote on something that was never put in front of the people. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please identify yourself for the record.
Yes. Good evening. My name is Lynn Danbrook, and I'm the superintendent of schools in Warwick. I'm here before you tonight to respectfully ask you to vote for the two new high schools. I have been in Warwick for 38 years, and I'm very passionate about the school system here. I go to work each day to support teachers, students, and families. I go to work each day to make sure that there's a safe and healthy learning environment in every school. I go to work each day to make sure that student athletes have the facilities that they need to play the sports of their choice. I go to work each day to make sure that our students are receiving the best education possible and the teachers have the best resources. But when I visit the high schools, I am saddened because students and teachers deserve better. It is obvious that all of the concepts of 21st century learning can't be applied. Please support the two new high schools. Please give your students the facilities and education they deserve to make them competitive with other students across the state. Thank you.
Thank you. Please identify yourself for the record.
My name is Jim Martin. A year ago, you told the taxpayers and its voters that you were going to give them two new state-of-the-art schools for $350 million. The voters didn't give you $350 million with the understanding that you were going to use it to build two school buildings of whatever size would fit into that budget. You've already started to said you'd have to make changes. You cut out the air conditioning, you cut out sports fields, you've made the gym smaller to fit into the budget. What are you going to do next year when you find out that because of inflation and the cost of money still increasing, you're going to have to make more cutbacks? You're not going to end up with two schools that are state of the art. What you're going to end up with is two school buildings that need upgrading immediately. And then you're going to go to the voters for another $100 or $200 million to finish the schools that should have been done in the first place. You need to say no on this and start from scratch. And you don't need two schools anyway. You know, the population of students in the city has been dwindling for years. You need one high school, that's it. Just make one, get rid of the other one off that budget. You can do it for probably less than $350 and it won't be a problem. You know, it's not gonna bring in, a new school is not gonna bring in new people to this city. That's not what's gonna attract them. What would attract them is a good quality education. And I'll tell you, the education from public schools in Rhode Island has been pretty dismal for 30 years, and that includes Warwick. If you really want to give the taxpayers something that they can, and draw new people, and to actually save the taxpayers money, give them a voucher program so they can send their kids to whatever school they want. You know, the cost of an average private school education in Rhode Island, K-12, is much less than the cost of K-12 public school education in Rhode Island. You could actually save taxpayers money by putting a voucher program in place. And you can still end up building a new school for the public schools, but do it within budget and make it a real state-of-the-art school, not something that's going to need upgrading immediately. That's all I have.
Thank you. Please identify yourself for the record.
Michelle Landry, Tollgate High School, Science Department Chairperson. I've listened a lot tonight, and something came to my mind. People are saying, oh, we didn't account for furniture, and we didn't account for new computers, and we didn't account for... That stuff is all accounted for. Whether we build two new schools or not, we're going to need new furniture. We're going to need to upgrade the computers, the Chromebooks. We're going to need to do all that stuff anyways. This bond is solely for the purpose of building the schools. And I don't know how people don't get it. The bond is for $350. RIDE is going to reimburse 55%. How do you not understand that concept that we are, as Ms. Danbrook has said, getting two schools for the price of one? That's fiscal responsibility right there.
Thank you. And Speaker, please identify yourself for the record.
Good evening. My name is Joe Walsh, and contrary to popular belief, I am not the solicitor's father. That's a whole nother Joe Walsh. So I'm the business manager of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local Union 99 in Providence. First 20 years of my life I spent in Ward 8. The next 20 years I spent in Ward 3. And then I continued to keep a home as rental property until about 2 years ago. So I've been a taxpayer in the city of Warwick a good portion of my life. My kindergarten was Buttonwoods Kindergarten, which is now a senior center. My elementary school was John Wicks, which is still functioning. They condemned my junior high school as soon as I got out, Lockwood, and turned that into condominiums. And then I went to Warwick Vets, which was not a good learning experience as far as sitting in the classrooms with the coats on in the winter, sweating all spring and fall because the heat never worked properly. The teachers were fantastic. There was no problem with the educational system itself. It was the facilities that I was being taught in. Now, I've managed to do fairly well in life anyway. But I think the thing that gets missed in these public meetings, and I go to a lot of them, so me and my colleagues are in all 39 municipalities all the time trying to support construction projects. But Warwick, I can talk fairly intimately about. A school is not a person. It is not a home. It is not a mortgage. It is not something you buy into for a certain period of time. Bob Smith needs a house. Oh, Bob died. We no longer need a house. It doesn't work that way. Unless all children evaporate off the face of the planet, there's a continual need to improve your school systems. That's just the way it is. I never had children myself, but I cheerfully and willingly pay my taxes to support good school systems. When I moved out of Foster, out of Warwick, I moved to Foster, mainly because of the good school systems. Not because I had children or grandchildren, because they're not coming either, obviously, but because good schools bring good people and build good communities. That's a statistical fact. So the way I see it, and the little knowledge I have of what's happened in the city since I've left, is a vote did occur for these schools. And I would agree wholeheartedly with people who say, look, you had to value engineer this out and that out, and it's not as good as it should be. I agree. Make it what it should be. Get more money if you need to put the air conditioning in the schools, to build the acoustical rooms for the choir, to put the athletic fields in. But it doesn't necessarily happen day one, right? When you build your own home, and I built a number of them, when you build your own home, you may not have that landscaping year one. You may not have that driveway paved the way you want it. You may not have the big screen TV, but you build the structure, move in, and improve it as you go along, because it's not for the next 10 years. It is going to be for the next 50 years for the people who have not even thought about being born yet. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Please identify yourself for the record.
Sean Rainey, Ward 1. Alumni of Pilgrim High School, coach at Warwick Vets for baseball, It is a burden to have two teams on at Vets for baseball. Kids coming out of school, sixth, seventh, eighth graders, we have to get out of school, get on the field, and practice. I feel for those Tollgate kids. They have to come in at 4, 5 o'clock to do a practice. It's terrible. The schools are the same as it was in 1991 when I graduated. Pilgrim is the same. The fields are the same. And it needs to, we need new schools. Just remember this, 15 years ago, maybe 20, it was one of my first votes that I took for Mickey Stevens Sports Complex to be redone. I think the bond was $7-8 million. Here it is 20 years later, that money still has not been released. That field is the worst field probably in the Northeast. Terrible. Another place that Tollgate used to play at, but they can't even play there because the field's so terrible. The voters approved $7-8 million 15 years ago when Mayor Avedisian was the mayor. Now released those funds. Now, that $7 million, you probably can't even break ground for $7 million. So we're talking, we're going to put off. 15 years ago, we put off Mickey Stevens Sports Complex, $7 million. Guess what it's going to cost you today to replace that field? Probably somewhere in there, $21 million. So keep putting off, put off. Build the schools now, whenever, as soon as we can.
Thank you. Please identify yourself for the record.
Karen Bacchus, Ward 7 and 5, taxpayer, school committee, longtime school committee member, concerned citizen. I have no children. I love kids. I have no problem paying extra taxes for our schools. Schools are the lifeblood of this community. If East Providence can take the money. Now, first of all, as you heard Ms. Landry say, 55% is being paid for by the state of Rhode Island Department of Education. Our taxes are going to pay for that. Why shouldn't we enjoy the fruits of our taxes? Why should we pass it on to other cities and towns? Like Providence, over 100% reimbursement rate. Pawtucket, over 100% reimbursement rate. Central Falls, over 100% reimbursement rate. Woonsocket, over 100% reimbursement rate because of the number of poor people, of poverty-stricken people in those cities and towns. Right now, we're at 55%, which is a very good deal. Originally, it was 48, it went up to 50. To answer the questions about patchworking our schools, back before 2020, we had a whole plan to refurbish our schools, Tollgate and Pilgrim, and we brought it to Ride. We did a lot of work on it. We brought it to Ride, and Ride said, oh, no. No. You're not going to do that because the money that it will cost you is almost as much as it will cost to build brand new schools. We will not fund this. We had to go back to the drawing board. More time goes by. COVID comes along. Things get slowed down again. Prices are going up and up and up, if you notice. If you're working, most people are seeing their salaries go up as well, unless you're a senior citizen like me who's on a fixed income. And I know there are many of you there, but that's okay. I'll take the hit. Schools are important. It's part of our civic responsibility. It's part of being a democracy. We need good schools for our future. We need good schools for this city. If East Providence can build a great school, they put extra money into their school. Wright said, well, we'll only give you 50% of this. And they said, well, okay, well, we're going to take money out of our taxes and we're going to put more because we want a bigger auditorium and we want this and we want this. So they overfunded what Ride would give them. We're not asking for that. We don't know exactly what it's going to cost, but to the best of our knowledge, it's at $350 million right now, which means that Warwick's piece of that is somewhere around $125 million right now, less than that. Other things are already budgeted. When I first came to the school committee over 10 years ago, I said, if we build it, they will come. At that time, we were looking at new buildings. We needed new buildings. Nobody wanted to hear it. East Providence has been revitalized. They have a burgeoning new businesses. They have more and more people wanting to live in that city because they have a beautiful school and they have a great school system. Warwick can certainly do better than East Providence. We're a bigger city, we're a better city. But right now we have a lot of shuttered businesses. We have places like Price Right out of business. Storefronts. If we build two new schools, I would be willing to go out on a limb and say, we're gonna have new businesses coming to this city. We're gonna have people just jumping into this city because people already wanna come here. And many of the neighborhoods in the city, as you all know, are gentrified. They're changing over. Many people in my neighborhood are moving out or they're dying and new people are moving in. It happens. It's the life cycle of a city. It's the life cycle of a neighborhood. If we build it, they will come. If we build it, we will reinvigorate this city and make it better than it has been in forever. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Please identify yourself for the record.
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the City Council, Michael Holmes, Ward 6. I want to take a little bit of a breath right now. We've all kind of heard a lot tonight, and I want to strike a tone of appreciation. Appreciation for the City Council for hearing out members of the public. Appreciation for the teachers here representing the schools in which they educate the future. But most importantly, we heard earlier tonight the history of the School Building Committee and all the that's gone into getting us to this very point right here. And I had the luxury and I was fortunate to attend a lot of those meetings where it may not reach the papers, the razor's edge of just how close these high schools that we're looking to replace could go on the verge of failure. And I don't think there's any fiscal responsibility for that narrative. If a high school closes, you're gonna relocate 1,200, 1,300 kids somewhere. I don't think there's a plan in store for that. Two students in the Warwick school system, Brooklyn Beach at Gorton, the other one going to Warwick Vets Middle School. I just want to preach that we need to release those bonds. We need to get to work. We need state-of-the-art facilities because as Warwick, as a lifelong Warwick resident, we deserve the best. Looks like I'm the last speaker, so I don't want to belabor the point, but I humbly come before you today to ask that you release those bonds so we can get busy. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public that have not been heard yet that would like to speak? Are there any members of the public that have not been heard yet that would like to speak? Last call, any members of the public that would like to be heard that have not had a chance to speak? Okay, Councilman Howe, I'm looking for a motion to close the public comment section.
Motion to close public hearing.
Second by Councilman Foley, Councilman McElroy. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so we are now back in the just the council. So are there any members of the council that have any questions that were not asked earlier this evening? Councilman Ricks.
I have a question for the city finance director. Thank you. This is regarding the city borrowing or spending of funds to service the bond during the 5-year construction phase. Specifically, how would that function?
Well, there's different aspects to this. First of all, how do you get going? Once you pass this resolution, if you look at the details of the resolution, the city has authority to advance money before we issue bonds. And we just sold bonds in September. We're not going to do it again 2 weeks from now. I can tell you that. It took us 2 months to get there. It's not a process where you just snap your fingers and people will borrow $20 million from you. And matter of fact, Joanne's going to distribute the official statement that we had to go through. I've been doing nothing but selling bonds the last 2 months for $20 million. So, or two-thirds of my time doing that. So then over the interval, so the advances from the general fund, and when we sold the bond September 13th, we had advanced $6.5 million for the projects that are going on right now at Warwick Neck, at Widman. So we got reimbursed from the proceeds, and then the rest of it is going out. But then over the 5 years, what our financial analyst has done is assumed we're going to have two tranches of about $165 million each, of which a lot of that will be reimbursed by the state. We went through the council meeting where we were encouraging the state to pass an act that allows reimbursement before completion. I know the mayor is still very active on this. He's communicating. He's got a group together with other mayors. East Providence is excited about this possibility. Middletown, Senator DePalma in that area has been very aggressive on this on the Senate side. Johnston. So we've had a lot of communication with other cities and towns that are very interested in getting reimbursed. We have not given up on that. And it changed the dynamics and the numbers. You may remember the table that I passed out in May that shows us like having at the end of when you get project completion, having $7 million in excess of what we're paying because they're gonna pay us one lump sum reimbursement after 3 years of work. But potentially big tax increases before we get there. So we need to keep working on that. So what happens with over the next 5 years will be dependent upon what success we have. And speak to the speaker when you see him in the drugstore or the walking down the street. This is big on an enormous project like this. So, but if that doesn't happen, we're probably gonna have to do more frequent bond issues. And so that we're phasing in and not incurring debt until we actually have proceeds to spend on the project. So it's how we're going to work that is going to depend upon interest rate market conditions. It's going to depend upon whether the state gives us more flexibility on reimbursement before project completion. Those are the different factors that I can't tell you exactly how it's going to work.
I appreciate that. So it would be once the construction is actually finished that we would be looking at, that's when the payment period of the bond, whether it's 20 years, 25 years, or 30 years, however it's determined, that's the date that 20-year or 30-year schedule would begin?
That's correct. Under current law, and where I know the mayor especially is going to be aggressive in trying to persuade the General Assembly to give some flexibility. Doesn't cost the state any more in total dollars. It's just the timing of when the payments would occur.
Thank you. Let's see. I'll yield if any other city council members have questions at this time.
Anybody else have any additional questions? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Schaefer, we've heard this evening that we're or at least the projected numbers are $22 million higher than what was originally estimated. If that be the case, that the cost exceeds the $350 million, that $22 million would have to go to the voters, I believe. One mechanism would have to go to the voters. What happens if the voters don't approve it?
Well, first of all, the other suggestion I made, which Gothberg is shaking his head like this right now, is that you could, the $56 million was approved, could be used for high schools. So
I'm not sure about that. I think we'd have to revisit that because the language was very specific about the $56 million and what it could be used for. And I could be wrong, but I don't recall any language in that monies that would be able to use it for new schools. I believe that $56 million was for very specific items that were spelled out by the school department. And I believe we had spreadsheets on that. So, but anyways, my question is, what happens if that $22 million is not approved?
Well, I mean, this is speculative. I mean, the state seems very comfortable, Steve seems very comfortable, that somehow through the use of what's been budgeted in contingency and value engineering, they can get there.
So essentially what we're saying is there's a good possibility that this may have to get cut back even more. We may have to cut back more square footage. We may have to cut back a whole lot of things, right? That's value engineering.
And you've heard from people testifying. You're getting into an area that I don't have expertise in. I really don't have expertise.
No, I understand. I understand. Thank you, Mr. President.
Councilman Gephardt.
I wouldn't classify this so much as a question, but just sort of an accumulation of my thoughts after hearing everyone speak tonight. So for me, tonight is about hope. It's about being brave, and it's about the future. I heard two themes tonight, and I think they're both valid. Fear and faith. Fear of the cost, fear that people will be taxed into poverty, fear that this body has abdicated its duties or tried to mislead you, fear that it'll cost more, we'll get less, or that it won't work out. And faith. Faith that the team that's worked so hard to put this plan in front of you is not deceiving us, pulling a bait and switch. Faith that when they voted for these schools and it passed, it meant they got them. And faith that what today is a conceptual plan materializes into something that meets our expectations. A quote, faith and fear both demand you believe in something you cannot see. You choose. So tonight we choose fear or faith. What we need to ask ourselves is, what is our North Star? What guides us? What do we strive for? What do we envision for the next generation of our youth? Every resolution this council writes starts with this powerful language. Whereas the health, safety, and welfare of the citizens of the city of Warwick are matters of paramount importance to the city council. Every resolution we pass starts with that language. So I ask my colleagues, if our goal is to support the health, the safety, and the welfare of the citizens of this great city, what option furthers that? Is it kicking the can down the road? Is it waiting for ride funds to be depleted? Is it waiting for construction costs to continue to escalate? Pre-pandemic historical construction escalation ranges from 2 to 4% annually. Is it responsible for us to gamble a plan that we have today, a plan that the voters approved, to punt this project 5 years down the road when we know costs will be at least 10 to 20% higher? Or is it taking the brave step to support our youth, to continue the long-term success of our city, empower the school department to design, engineer, and build two world-class leading learning facilities? This option protects our future. It protects your investment in what most people's biggest asset is, their home. If you took your exact home from Hoxie or Connecticut or Pottawamat, moved it to North Kingstown or East Greenwich, it would immediately appreciate in value. Do you know why? The quality, the caliber, and the investment those communities make in their educational system. Martin Luther King said, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. That's where we are. We have a conceptual plan. We have a mandate from the voters. And so tonight, take the brave step. The first step to protect the health, the safety, and the welfare of the citizens of Warwick, and approve this bond. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Gephardt. Councilman Foley.
Thank you. Two things. I'm going to give a little anecdotal story. But first, I taught for almost 40 years, the last 30 of which at Davies Career Tech. When I walked into Davies, it was a building that was built in the 70s, brand new, brand spanking new. This was back in probably 1987. Like I said, I was there for 30 years. Luckily, about halfway through my tenure, they built a new addition, a brand new state-of-the-art addition. And what a difference. The quality of the students we attracted, the outcomes dramatically improved the students we had. I know what new state-of-the-art buildings can do for public education, personally. Now, my anecdotal story is, some of you know that as a hobby, I buy and resell. And about 6 years ago, it's owned by and started by a Warwick resident. It's called the Providence Flea. And 6 years ago, we moved indoors in the winter for the first time. And we're at Hope High School. And the market was held in their cafetorium. And I'm there as a vendor. And there's young couples there. And they're buying from me. And the guy looks up at the ceiling, looks at the water-stained ceiling, and the water dripping on the floor. And he looks at me and he goes, what did this used to be? I laugh and I go, it's a functioning high school. He looks at me with this look of bewilderment. And then he looks up again. He looks at the puddle. He goes, what? And I said, this is a functioning high school. It's one of the main high schools in the capital city of Providence. Kids eat their lunch in this room every day. He looked at the ceiling again, looked at the walls, looked at the puddle, looked at me. He goes, you've got to be kidding me. I said, no, it's sad to say. I don't want Warwick to be like that. I want our kids in state-of-the-art buildings, and that is why tonight I will be voting to release this bond. Thank you.
Councilman Foley. Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. As an alumni of Hope High School of 1984 to 1988, I know exactly where that drip of water is. And no, exactly. It's that kind of mentality. And I currently teach in a building that was built in 1926. And during 90 degree days we had a couple weeks ago, my room registered at 97 degrees. And the only recourse we had was to run fans. So some people can say, well, you know, the way we did it and how we did it in the past, and that shouldn't, you're not having the students. There's so many distractions in a classroom right now, whether it be cell phones, that's the number one issue in my eyes, cell phones, videos where we're throwing Chromebooks in front of them and expecting them to suddenly know how to do instruction curriculum that way, but they're not going to be focused. with the heating issues and with the, like, you know, I agree with what Mr. Walsh said when he said he remembers going with coats on. That happens. Sometimes the heaters break and there's no air conditioning. I run five or six fans in my classroom because air kills the moisture. And that's how I try to adapt. I don't aim the fans on the students. I aim it to the ceiling, which is about the same height as this ceiling, because a 1926 building. I aim it to the ceiling just to move the air so that it's not stagnant and stale. Hearing the challenges that the teacher, Ms. Necco, brought up, and the union president, of wart teaching in a building without windows, that's a challenge. That is also... In a building of that time and of the, with all these years of the system running and the system running, you're now speaking some serious usage and also some serious possible health issues going through. And I'm not saying that they haven't been. I'm just saying you're putting 1,000 bodies or hundreds of bodies, I don't know the exact number, into a building that circulates air. What do we think is going to happen? So new facilities going up, it's a constitutional right of our students. I appreciate what Councilman Gebhardt said, because he identified what our duties are within the city, but from our national constitution, it is mentioned in the constitution, the education of our students. And if we're not going to do it for our own students, our own residents, our neighbors, shame on us, just shame on us. I will support this absolutely, because it is time. Again, if we kick the can further, that recycle fee is going to go way, way up. So, and I'm not willing to do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilwoman Travis.
Thank you, Mr. President. First of all, I want to thank everyone who came out, and that's what we need to hear, the people. That's one of the reasons why I didn't second this resolution, because I wanted to hear people first, and I got the good, not only teachers that are going to tell us the conditions they were in, but the parents that see it every day when their kids go to school. I took a tour of both schools last year, I think, and oh my God, Tollgate, that was the last school to be built, and that was horrid. It really was. And I'm not that girl supposed to be in the boys' locker room, but I almost died when you walk in there. I don't know how the kids go in there. But in Pilgrim, it was a couple of years ago that I was working with FEMA, and we were doing an emergency evacuation. And after working in that room, I said, I'd never go to Pilgrim if they'll be evacuated, because there was leaks and puddles and buckets and mess. And, you know, I know the kids and the parents and the teachers all deserve better. I mean, it's more important that we need those kids to learn better. And how could they learn in conditions like that? So basically, I want to thank everyone for coming out so I could listen better. I can get a better understanding. And I also am going to support this bond.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Although I don't think the new locker rooms are going to help too much with that area. So, are there any other questions or comments from members of the council that haven't had a chance to speak yet? Councilman Ricks, then I'll go to Councilman Sinapi.
First, I'd like to say that I understand and appreciate the fiscal concerns here. Warwick is in rough financial condition with a large structural deficit. That structural deficit is looking like it's going to get worse before it gets better. We can look back at the last 10 years, we can look back at the last 50 years as to how we got ourselves in this hole, but that doesn't change where we are right now in terms of the needs of the students. If we're in rough financial shape, let's say taking a family as an example. The family might be in rough financial shape, but if you need to get to work, and let's say that whether that's public transportation or a car. You got to figure out how to get to work. You can't just say, oh, we're in credit card debt, therefore, I'm not going to fix the car. I'm not going to go to work. We can't just skip out on essential functions here. Schools are an essential function. We can't pawn off our students to other cities and towns. And by the way, if we did end up in a situation where we had to bus students to other cities and towns, think not only what that would do to the city and those students, but also that's going to hurt us financially worse, far worse, than if we were able to pay for these brand new schools. That busing is not free. Those other school systems, they're not going to take our students without getting that that reimbursement for those students all along the way. We can't be putting ourselves in that position. And that is something that we are actually looking at here as a possibility. If we are not building these new schools, the schools that are currently existing, they're not going to just tread water and stay the same. We're either going to be throwing a lot of good money after bad money into those old aging buildings just to tread water, or they're going to continue to get worse until they completely fail. And the cost to replace them, for all of the reasons discussed, the state reimbursement, inflation in general, the cost to replace them will get higher, not lower. Now, there is some inherent uncertainty in all of this. But if I'm taking my car to the mechanic, well, I don't necessarily know if the estimate is going to be the exact same as the quote. That doesn't mean that I don't go and get estimates from different mechanics. That doesn't mean that I don't go and get the car repaired. What we're actually voting on tonight is to continue this process. Where we are is that the people voted. Where we are is that our schools desperately need to get replaced. What we aren't voting on is whether or not this will actually be amortized over 20 years or 30 years. Personally, I'd prefer if we were able to do this in 20 years. Let's do our best to pay those costs sooner rather than later. But you know what? If it ends up being amortized over 30 years, these buildings are going to last over 30 years. It's not fiscally irresponsible to amortize the bond over 30 years. I would prefer for these brand new buildings to have the best modern air conditioning and the like. But again, that's not what we're actually voting on tonight. This would be a vote as to whether to continue the process. And I think we should continue the process rather than go way back to square one and end up putting ourselves in a far worse position, because there is cost to inaction here. I'm pleased from a lot of the speakers here that we're not seeing a lot of the narrowness of interests that, unfortunately, I did receive some phone calls and emails that struck me as a matter of a true narrowness of interest. It's not something that I just see in this context, but in the context of folks who call me up and say, why is that street over there getting repaved? My street is just as bad. I don't want to pay for that street over there to get paved when my street isn't getting repaved. Well, just because one person doesn't happen to be in Warwick Schools or have a child in Warwick Schools doesn't mean that we as a society shouldn't be contributing. If we carve up into these narrow little interests, we're lost as a city. We have to act collectively here. We have to look out for everyone and try to balance the interests as best we can. Here, I see this as very much necessary, fiscally responsible from the perspective of what is our next best option. Our next best option is a lot worse, is a lot riskier, and this is very much overdue. Let's build Warwick's first new schools in over 50 years.
Thank you, Councilman Ricks. Councilman Sinapi.
So a couple things. One, just to point out the obvious for some of us who have been fighting for this for, God, almost a decade now. The short-sighted approach of kicking the can is how we got here in the first place with a very uncomfortable decision. Multiple school committees ago, multiple. And Karen was on the minority at that time fighting for this not to happen. Schools were closed without any consideration of the future. All they cared about was solving the here and now, exactly what some people have professed as trying to avoid over here. And they closed them, and then they realized, oh, we actually need some schools, and we renovated Vets. And that was pretty much the straw that broke the camel's back when it comes to the possibility of a super high school. That would have been the spot, that right there. But because we closed all those other schools, including Gorton, which shouldn't have been closed, we got screwed. We got left with the perfect location in the city, and really the only location, because for those who don't know, we had a consultant come in, and nationally renowned guy, went through the whole spiel, and he's like, yeah, you know, really wish we could have had a super high school right there, would have been perfect. But that's the only spot, just because of the nature of the land, what we have going on in Warwick. Once we lost that option, we had to do two schools. There was no longer a choice. And why was it no longer a choice? Because, again, we kicked the can too much, too long, and Pilgrim's on its last legs. And for those who think Tollgate is pristine and whatnot, then you have only seen the outside, and you have not resided in it for any serious amount of time. And you have not used its facilities for any serious amount of time. I went there. God, it feels like forever ago. When did I graduate? 2007? There was one staircase. If you stayed in too long, you get sick because of the heat. There was constantly just too hot, really, to function. But we did. And that's just what we did. I don't recall getting days off because it was hot. Granted, it was a while ago. I don't recall going to the auditorium because it was hot. Then around 11 or 12 years later, my siblings went to Tollgate. Not only did they have the same problems, it was worse. Then they started going to the auditorium because it was too hot. Then they started getting days off because it was too hot. Now, 11 or 12 years later, my son's at Tollgate. Every single freaking day, he comes back. He's got to shower right away because he's just drenched in sweat from throughout the day. It's just nonstop where it's miserable for him, which is unfortunate because his friends are there. He actually was excited to be in a different environment where more independence. And instead, I got him asking me if he can go to a different district, which is awful for me for a lot of reasons, but also just because I've been trying to work on this for so many years to avoid exactly that exact conundrum. Because for those who don't follow the school committee and the budget, we lose million plus, maybe millions at this point, the kids going to different districts. It's bad. It's not a small amount of money. Anyone who's ever told you otherwise is a damn liar. We lose so much money to that, and it just hurts. It hurts bad. Because once you lose one, guess who talks to their neighbors? Who talks to their neighbors, and you're going to lose more. And we lose a lot. So those kids, and like NK stole a bunch of them. Thanks, Greg. And then, yeah, and we got some back after the scandals. It's fine. Blown by it. Anyone who's ever said that new schools don't bring in students, again, that just, the facts disagree wholeheartedly. New schools bring in students, it's just how it works. People move in because the community obviously cares about investment, just like Councilman Gebhardt pointed out. It evidences the kind of conduct that people want to see. They know it's a community that's in the upswing. Even if it's not necessarily got everything going for it, they know it's a community that's going in the right direction. And that's all that matters, because you could move into one of those pristine cities. Like back in the day, what was it? Boroughville was the top of the charts for education. A bunch of people moved there. It's not at the top now. It kind of went the other way because they stopped investing. It's just, you have to invest in the community. And when people see it, people come. And when people stop seeing it, they leave, which is one of the main reasons we've been losing people. Because if the schools haven't changed since my father was there, why would anyone in their right mind think anyone was investing in the schools? They'd have to be an idiot. It just doesn't make sense. And I don't blame people for going elsewhere at that point, because if you had the money to do it, you might as well, for the sake of your kid. And even though my kid's not going to benefit from this, it needs to happen. Any more delay, costs are just going to go up. It's just a fact. Delaying it further basically amounts to a pocket veto. I mean, that's not what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to veto the citizen's choice because we don't like it, because now we disagree, because now there's new information. It's just tough. That's how this works. That's how democracy works. You got to get over it, and we got to move on. And if you don't like the fact that, why aren't we just renovating? It was already pointed out, Ride blocked us. We wanted to. It was a great idea. That consultant helped us put together an awesome idea. It actually looked amazing. They were basically going to amount to new schools. Ride blocked us utterly, and that was the end of it. So if you want us to go back to that, just know that there's no 55% reimbursement, or 55% reimbursement. So instead of being on the hook for 120, you're on the hook for 350 or more. So if we want to talk about fiscal responsibility, I don't think we need to say much more in that regard. It's kind of an open and shut case. That's why if you see me sit here fidgeting for a large amount of this process, this is why. Because I've been here for roughly a decade going through all of this. I've seen and heard pretty much all the arguments by now. And I've seen what happens when we give in to all the arguments against. Because it's played out in this district for 30-something years now. It's not news to anyone who's been attending, unfortunately, in the schools, by a teacher or student. And it's unfortunate. And frankly, in all fairness, I don't expect those who haven't been attending to know, because how could you unless you were there? It's fair. But hearing what we've said here tonight, those who've been there, those who learned about it, it speaks for itself. This needs to happen whether we like it or not. The new schools have to come in. So I move approval.
So Councilman Sinapi, to make a motion. If you can. Councilman Sinapi moves favorable action. Second by Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Howe, Councilman McElroy, Councilman Ricks, Councilman Foley, Councilman Gephardt. Okay, it has been moved to the second. I believe everyone has had an opportunity to speak. Before I call the roll, I just first want to thank everyone who came out tonight. I think we had an outstanding meeting. We heard from all sides. Everyone who wanted to be heard had an opportunity to be heard. As council members, we vote on issues at every meeting, big issues, contracts, union contracts, annual budgets. We try to get a sense of what our residents and our constituents want. We do our homework, and then we vote. This is a little different. This item before us, we know exactly what our constituents and the residents of Warwick want. They voted to build two new schools and borrow $350 million. So let's be proud that we live in a community that wants to invest in our children's future and their education. I'm proud of that. And the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
No.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
8 yes, 1 no.
Thank you. Motion passes. Thank you very much. We do have some additional business. However, I would entertain a motion to take a 5-minute recess. Moved by Councilman Rick, second by Councilman Howell. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're in recess.